The following podcast is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized distribution, duplication, or presentation may be punished by civil liability, criminal prosecution, or the wrath of the tall man. And we finally nailed it in one. Welcome to 90 for Chill, the podcast. This is going to probably be the last episode for a while, done from my iPad using the Spotify for Podcasters app, which I've had a lot of success with. I think we're past all the official changes to it. I know it's going to be, as Dre from Tattoo Squid stated, that it's a little trickier now. And as I told him, I came from the multimedia background. So it's not that hard for me to edit. But who knows, maybe I'm not that great an editor. Dre is a very humble man and says I do all right. So, you know, starting with some positive vibes as the AC has been turned off and I got a kitty jumping all over my lap. So getting to my notes and stuff I want to talk about, little purchases and what have you. Might be a little tricky. C2E2, day three may have been my favorite day. I don't really know why, because there was nothing to do. It didn't really feel overly productive. I finally got to the artist alley, and, you know, just very much like I live in an apartment, one bed, and truthfully, all the space I have to put stuff is next to a bed. Yeah, I have a bed in my living room, which I do most of my sleeping in. Ava kind of takes over the bedroom. That's her domain. So, good roommate, I think. So, basically, if I put frames up, I just got a fear I'm going to be waking up with glass on my face. I'm a very violent sleeper. I don't know why. Which, hey, maybe I should apologize to the Hilton Garden Inn on McCormick about, the bed just doesn't seem right. Maybe I really screwed it up. Hey, I tipped the housekeeping, so I think we'll be all right with them. Again, I'd love, if you're in, hospitality and don't really want to deal with the food side of it, like myself. Yeah, Hilton properties, at least in Chicagoland, are nice places to work. Again, it's really all about the ownership. I imagine a Hilton at McCormick with the Hampton Inn and the Home 2. They were basically, they're probably owned by the Hilton Corporation, so you know, it's like McDonald's in Chicago. So many of them are actual corporate McDonald's, and I think they do better than franchises. So, you know, making me think back, I had an offer to work at the Hilton in Airport Hilton in Vegas. Or at least they said, hey, you want to talk about doing an interview? And, like, I'd love to talk, but I kind of, you know, live in Central Illinois at that time. And still. So, I could go on about that. It's like, I gotta find myself a bigger place, I think, city-wise. Maybe, I know, I was thinking about trying Chicago before the pandemic hit. And I was in a better financial state. So, that was a, but then, you know, I started working for Marine Bank and, yeah, it'd be a little trickier. You know, eventually Morton Community Bank will get to Chicagoland. I'm pretty confident in those guys. But hey, I'm not with them, and I don't have anybody on the inside right now. I mean, might have some old high school mates. I know they were taking pretty good care of me back when I lived in the Peoria area. So, yeah, I mean, I got my license plate stickers, and I know I didn't have an account with them at that time. So, hey. Things are changing, I guess. Clock Tower is going to be cool. You know, the moment I know I was talking about day three. And yes, this day three of C2E2 is going to be the sole topic. I mean, focus, I should say. Obviously. Well, yeah, that's the focus. Any topic that pops up just pops up. That's me without the poetic critic here to go and try to referee a little bit. I was setting up to try doing it, with her, this, afternoon back in, Morton. at our parents' place. I guess she's paying rent, so her place too. But she was at, you know, she found herself a TV trope page on and wanted to talk about that stuff. So, you know, why the Hulk, why stretchy superheroes aren't any good necessarily. Again, I gotta watch Ms. Marvel to figure that out. Basically, but brought up a lot of points about just like, really, can Plastic Man and Kamala Harris and, you know, Reed Richards from Fantastic Four, can they ever be presented on the screen without shredding them to pieces like they did in Multiverse of Madness? That reminds me, I really do gotta get back on to my MCU next Tuesday. Those would be bonus episodes since I like to drop on Wednesdays. But I do need to catch up on the MCU, and you know, right now with at least the theatrical stuff kind of being on a slowdown, I might be able to catch up. And as Maya Hawke transition stated, we all have to keep going to the movie theaters more now. Tricky for me since, you know, my prior weekend was the AEW trip to Peoria and, you know, crazy Big Al's and good old friends at Richards on Main. I kind of, wore myself out. The 4 a.m. last calls just aren't what I'm comfortable with, I guess, anymore. So, you know, I could tell you stories like, why this, why that, why don't you stay out till 4 when I've made those Peoria trips. But, you know, I digress. I don't think I give enough love to the Beercade has really improved. It's more of an arcade-type environment, and now that means there's more people in it, so good for them. But then it's like, could you at least get me a screwdriver? No, okay, I'll take a cran and vodka. How about, you know, a shot of Malort? Peoria doesn't have Malort? Come on. That is a alcohol meant for us. I mean, I can get Malort and champagne, so I'm just saying. I have to venture into Bloomington, despite that's a 1 a.m. last call. But who knows? You know, figure, straighten out my finances, probably try to check out Low Straight Jackets at the Castle Theater on Cinco de Mayo. I mean, gosh, it's kind of an honor to see Los Straight Jackets doing their 30-year tour, and they're going to be, they're going to play Bloomington for Cinco de Mayo. So, something to think about. Am I going to have the juice? I don't know. That's just really it. This trip has been really, really tiresome, and after that one. So, I know what I was getting at. That was going out to see more movies. And really all I cut out time for right now is when Riff Tracks does a live show. But you know what? Maybe I'll alternate once the tournament ends at What Do You Know Trivia. And alternate Thursdays, like Couchman Bakes, an alternate for our team, Shrug Emoji. Does open mic at the Space in Champaign, I believe it is. Don't get mad at me, Andrew. You're gonna get mad enough once the pictures I've got come up on the internet. You, a little bit of jealousy. All I can say is there were only one of the Funko Pops, and it was gonna get real pricey otherwise for the other item. So, yep, Ava's been very cool to me. Let's see, cuddle, I think she was lonely. Think about another cat for her, but she's 16, and she is a boss. And, you know, you can't count on subservient kitties. I mean, once they figure out their fat, well, it's funny, I guess, with Ava. Callista, Stephanie's cat, that I had taken care of for a couple of weeks as she was thinking, oh, we're going to end up moving to a place where I can't have her. She quickly figured out, being the elder cat, that she was a little more spry. So she'd, which really tells you that I might be a too spoil Ava too much, because I think she was only, this was in our first year. Maybe it was a little later. I think it may have been a little later. I think that was 2013, but still, 3 years, that the, Callista had on her, and she would just figure high spots to dive bomb her. Skimble would try to be friendly, maybe roughhouse, but yeah, Skimble was a 10-pound cat at most, and Ava was around 16 at the time. You know, if it's cat years, human years, you know, you just have to do the same kind of math, I guess, weight class wise. But yeah, the first panel I checked yesterday out, which, you know, I said on the bonus episode about day two. Yeah, so we're not going, again, this is going to be a sole focus, is C2E2 day three. So I'm not going to tack on the other two bonus episodes at the end of this chat about day three, like I've done previously back when it was... Podbean feed. I think really that, so let's see, I was there for 2021, 2022. Yeah, so those I might just pull out, for bonus episodes at some time. I'm not going to do it this year since we had Samara Weaving Week, and that's enough, but four bonus episodes when I plan on two a month, that's, a little much. So, yeah, so maybe next April. C2E2 is going to be the weekend, I believe, and let's get to the phone or my notebook. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, do you need a pen at all times? I think that's a good thing to do, because I think I may have brought it up on the previous podcast, one of the previous podcasts. I hate cell phones and people who talk on cell phones. I know, first world problems, the Weird Al song, like, this could have been a text. It's like, really just comes down to this. If you're in a public place, you meant to be in that public place. It's not like the good, not like the days of landlines where, hey, you missed me. I couldn't take your call. Leave it on the answering machine. But, you know, I don't want to talk to people on the phone in public, I guess is me. I don't know why people decided, like, any place is a good place. No, keep it in your house. All right, I digress on that. But it's more or less like Maya Hawke was saying that she's always got a pen around to write down ideas. And she says you can use your phone, but I think the physicality is something we're losing. I mean, it's bad enough physical media. But with that said, May is anime after this episode. So, you know, I want to have guests to chat about some great animation from Japan for the 15th and the 30th of this podcast, I believe. 15th, 22nd, 29th. Okay. But you know what I mean. And I've got... Oh, this is a nice... Nice Blu-ray I got of Lupin the Third, The Castle of Cagliostro, a film directed by Hayao Miyazaki. It's not Studio Ghibli, which I think is a good thing. I've learned that I think if it's GH, it's supposed to be a J, and G is the G. I still don't like the I still don't like that we have an alternate for J. I mean, it's only English, isn't it? Because every other language, J is really a secondary letter. Minor leagues. The movie was came out, I believe, in 79. This has a Blu-ray I got. It's got both dub versions. The Poetic Critic was talking to me about how she'd really only seen the... Streamline Pictures. It was a Orion label where the dubs are definitely more about just making a story work instead of being accurate. And I think I brought it up on the Day One podcast. I really, people want dubs over subs? Look at the size of the crowd for the One Piece voice actors. I mean, this isn't, these guys and gals aren't tears strong. She was at it. Do I have any? Well, I got plenty of Harley Quinns. I could have had her autographed. It's also another weird thing, and we'll get to that. I'll have a good transition back to that. So yeah, physical media, my Blu-ray of Lupin the Third. And yeah, I'm trying to see the runtime on it. Come on, you gotta have that listed. Aspect ratio, 100 minutes. Boom. It's probably tricky to find, but it can be found, and I think a bunch of Miyazaki heads are definitely going to want to find that. And who knows? I mean, I'm just saying, I know I've covered, I'll have to check some times. I know I've covered a couple of Miyazakis, obviously, on the first episode of the podcast way back in January of 2021 with Allie from Allie's Accessory Shop on Etsy. Primarily, I just gave her some Studio Ghibli because we watch a lot of anime. I got her into that. We talked about Porcaroso, and we talked about the first movie we saw. Well, second movie we saw at the art theater. First movie we saw was The Lobster. The first movie we saw together was The Nice Guys, and yeah, I'm surprised we made it. You know, 3.75 years together. Right, let me see. Ow. I'm sure I'll... Oh, The Cat Returns. So we did Studio Ghibli. So we can't necessarily do Studio Ghibli if you want to talk Miyazaki beyond the Castle of Cagliostro. But, you know, so we can't go and throw in My Neighbor, the Yamadas, Grave of the Fireflies that way. Love to talk about both those movies, though. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if you want to go do a marathon, so I have to get to The Boy and the Heron, if that's available, I'll say. My big sister was giving me a lot of info on. Yeah, that might not be a possibility, so... whoa, Little Nemo, he was a key animator on Little Nemo Adventures in Slumberland, which is something, yeah, I wanted to, I was curious by back in 1989 when they rushed it to the States. So, yeah, 80's not great. 80, I mean, you gotta thank the independent film movement that got us to, like, yeah, let's make sure art is important after the blockbuster 80s fizzled out. Okay, so Maya Hawke would not know anything about that. I think she was born in 2000, which is scary because that means I'm old enough to be your dad, not so creepingly. Well, I mean, you know what I mean. It's like, that's a funny thing, living on a college campus, and you know, my friends that I meet at bars, they are 1998. Okay, cool. She must have, damn, they let season 3 of Stranger Things cook. That's, yeah, I guess that's a reason. I mean, ideal time to have a kid when you're Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman age wise. I mean, Gen X, yes, but you know, great. I got to look up Ethan's info now. Which is kind of interesting that Ethan Hawke, you know, that is something. At least we got to talk about her parents and not actually mentioning their names, and I guess that's kind of cool. And she got to work with Ethan Hawke on something that's going to be coming out called Wildcats. Ethan as the director. And I really wanted to talk about The Kill Room, which I did earlier this month on the podcast. And Uma Thurman as an art dealer laundering money for Samuel L. Jackson, a owner of a Jewish bakery. There we go.
Get my notes. Come on. I'm sure I went and finally documented what that meal was. Because they weren't bagels. Oh, come on. Guess you just got to hit back and hope. Oh, sorry, I know. Can't have silence. Gosh, not much history saving. Ugh,
I'd have lost it. But, yeah, Samuel L. Jackson, owner of a Jewish bakery called the Black Dreidel. Joe Manganiello is a hitman who they come up with a scheme. Basically, if you, well, she doesn't know what she's laundering. But it's basically money for hits, and they need somebody to paint it, so they make the hitman do it. So it's a good Tarantino, like, we're talking clever movie, or seemingly clever movie, I should say, like Suicide Kings. Not a big enough ensemble cast, I think, and they kind of don't try to get too clever with the dialogue. They want to get the point A to point B, and it's like, you know, come on. Tease us a little bit. I liked it, but worth $4.99 on iTunes. So at least give you a price point to look at. So, as I said, I wanted to talk, ask Maya Hawke about working with her mom, acting opposite of her in scenes in that feature. And she plays the person who's the current resident of the art gallery Uma Thurman owns, who, you know, Uma's just not moving the paintings, and she's gonna, and now she's gotta try to force her out for the bag man, the hitman. But so that was here it is. Maybe it's me. I will straight up acknowledge that I don't want an excuse to get a new phone, because I'm on a family plan, and you know, it's kind of mooching, I think, is what I'll say. But it may have just been the so maybe me having a 4G phone. The Wi-Fi sucked at McCormick Place because everybody's gonna get on it, obviously. So maybe if I had a 5G, I could have used it to my advantage. But the QR code questions, as brought to you by C4 Energy, the official energy drink of World Wrestling Entertainment. I mean, come on, Hunter, at least start calling it World Wrestling Entertainment again. I'm sure the UFC would like that. Endeavor, TKO, what have you. I'll still tell you the energy drink, drink to go is Nas, but both flavors I tried. Not bad. Better than, say, a straight-up Monster Energy. Obviously, nothing compares to Red Bull. Just me. Well, there was a bootleg they had back in the early noughties called Zap, which I thought was all right. But it was pretty much sold straight to bars, so you could put it on tap. So cute. Yeah, so basically, if you don't have service, scanning a QR code is not going to do you any good to go and put your question in. And, then it's not that you could do it on the fan hub. I think I read the finer print. I'm not certain because ReadPop is kind of screwy. So I was trying to think, let's just go stick with microphones. Jay and Kev did it right. And otherwise, and other big rooms aren't going to have it. And I tipped the Fandom Fantasy girls $20, girls and guys. I will, like, beef the guy who did a Macho Man cosplay, burlesque act. He was having fun. I think that's kind of meant for, I mean, when you're followed up by a, pole dancing man doing it to the Purge, Purge themed. Yeah, it kind of shows, like, you're gonna have to up your game up. But hey, he gave a good performance. It was, you couldn't help but enjoy it. I'm just saying, again, lesson from that, from Nerdlesque is, hey, perform. If you can perform it, I can't judge you. So, so I'm saying some acts were better than others, but I'm not going to say you suck.
But we had a lot of great acting insights, and I mean, okay, she's 24, no, 26.
So, you know, the difficulty, scope, it was primarily Stranger Things, but, you know, and I have not watched season 4. I don't have Netflix. I'm not a fan of Netflix, necessarily. I mean, there's some good stuff. I was a Tiger King guy. I liked The Witcher. At least the first season. I didn't get into this, you know. Cobra Kai's got its moments. Sometimes it's just a little too soap opera for me. So I guess I guess I could go and bitch about Cobra Kai being too soap opera. You know, it was kind of a straight narrative. 80s narrative. Good, you know. Rocky's story. I mean, it's fun, but come on. She spoke of the difficulty of determining the direction of a character when you only get one episode at a time. So, you know, it's going to take you half a season before you, well, depend on how great an actor, but it's basically saying that the actor will then determine the writing. They'll write to her strengths. And, you know, she inspired her Robin character based off Ally Sheedy from The Breakfast Club, going from just that base to being a actor who's now just Robin, essentially. You know, she does talk about some egomaniacal aspirations for actors, primarily, I hope I survived season 5 of Stranger Things. And, you know, stating, basically her goal for Stranger Things is wanting her character to survive and, well, back up, egomaniacal aspirations, basically make the show about me, of course, which, you know, that's, you want it to be about you. I'm a professional wrestler. Any main event I got, the feeling was great. Thank you, Chris Hazard, and thank you, Brett Gakia. Thank you. Trying to think of other main events I had. Peoria. It's Peoria. It's Rolla, Missouri. I got places. I want to get to more. I'm underemployed. I had a selfie that I'm not, I'm going to have to work on something, but I've got ideas. I'm willing to be the Cat Bus Russ, the king of chonk style. Don't anybody take it. That's why we're getting an LLC, so I can sue people. wanting the character to survive, and she brought up, I mean, it really is, Stranger Things is just a Stephen King knockoff. Hey. Don't come at me. I'm sorry. It's a throwback to the style I think we grew up with watching Stephen King projects before Stephen King projects were really nailed down. And when you're basically saying, get out of Hawkins, Indiana, all this weird shit happening. It's kind of like saying, well, then you're just being on the losers club trying to get away. I mean, we're going to leave the black kid behind? It's Indiana. This isn't, at least Maine votes Democrat. And she talked about a concept I never really thought about, which was building a performance in the edit, which she talks about from her movie Do Revenge, and how, you know, you do it so you can cover up the twist. It's not a insult to your acting ability. It's just like, okay, we got to let the audience, we got to figure out if the audience is going to catch on too quickly or not at all and feel insulted. So yeah, take multiple takes just so you can get different, kind of like Kevin Conroy's Stories of Voice Acting that I got from, I think it was Wizard World 2019. Like, you gotta say the line, and primarily with video games in that case, and then you gotta say the line, you gotta say the line, and you know, just so it sounds good. So you get the right sound that's gonna affect the audience correctly. So so that movie I think I talked about with Ethan Hawke, Behind the Lens, is Wildcat. And I don't think I wrote down the author's name, but, you know, it was a, about, you know, it's a, gonna be a story about, you know, using, a face relationship in one's life. And Ethan Hawke, as the director, basically said, is, coming to it, like, you know, he feared he didn't focus on the right things at the right time in his career, in his life. But, you know, primarily art, though, can be its own faith, I suppose. I don't want to say religion. Fudge that. So it's should be an interesting project. We also got great stories about working with Wes Anderson. Like, Wes Anderson, like, she talked about finishing her... rapping on Asteroid City, and multiple times rapping. Basically, like, you know, Wes would come to her, "Hey, have we finished with you yet?" I just rapped. "Well, you want to stick around for another one, another scene?" And Wes Anderson would write scenes to put her in, or at least change scenes to keep her around. So, I mean, gosh, I mean, Wes Anderson and his powers, I'm gonna have to look over the, well, it's Wes Anderson, he's never gonna get the Oscar love he deserves. I don't know what Oscar has against the last name Anderson. Yes, I'm pulling for, you know, perhaps we can straighten out Paul W.S. Anderson if we gave him an Academy Award at some point. That's all I'm saying. So let me see all filmography. No. Awards. Well, I mean, won Best Short in 2024, so but there you go. At least he got it. No, nothing for Asteroid City. So yeah, my older sister adored it. I know it's adored on Screen Draps, a podcast that drops every Monday. I'd recommend to listen to that. Or like recently driving home, we listened to a fun draft, which was action movie sequels limited only to the second feature in a franchise, which was pretty easy for me to figure out. Not sure if Top Gun Maverick is spoiler that, if we don't have a Rocky movie. Basically, Top Gun Maverick, it's training, and then they get into a battle at the end. Well, isn't that Rocky? Like, but we're not going to put Rocky 2 on there? Like, Rocky 2 gave people everything they wanted as well, you know? Rocky wins. I'd get back on my notes. This isn't going to be too much longer, because I didn't really feel like I did much. Notes. Sorry, everybody. She did make a great point, though. You have to have something to keep you, once you succeed, you become a paid actress. Paid writer, paid musician. You have to find something on the side to dedicate your artistic efforts to. Not to say that you can't, you know, movies aren't art, but corporations go and screw it up. So, you know, she's does a folk music on the side, 3 albums, and I think she's doing pretty well with the musical career. I don't listen to enough music, new music, I should say. You know, I could go on about, well, you know, I graduated the year of Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock. I just thought music had died. And, you know, some people say, yeah, you're too harsh on Biscuit. Nobody gives a flying F about Kid Rock. Oh, and thank you, Maya, for, I think she threw some Fs in there. Maybe she didn't. I don't know. I mean, it was engaging. Maybe I shouldn't even focus on the Fs. I'm just a podcaster with a, try to set my own rating standards. But yeah, once corporations get into it, you're going to slowly lose your artistic, not integrity, but influence on something. So you got to find something new. And she's going to be playing Anxiety and Inside Out 2. I don't know. I'm one of the people who don't really, I don't think I was really too touched by Inside Out. Like a lot of people, I was going, you know, I was still in a pretty maudlin, well, definitely in a maudlin stage when I saw that. I just don't want to, like, it's me, all right? I'm not one to try compromising, and it kills me. I know it's killing me. And a side note, I went and visited Stacia Harden's grave today. I think she would appreciate the Easter wreath, despite I don't believe she was ever religious. And, I mean, she's the type of girl who would eat peeps just to say, yeah, gotta enjoy the season. Just little awkward moments for me. Like, I see somebody's stuff has been knocked off the gravestone, little trinkets, trying to put them back on. And then as I left, I saw a wreath from a recent funeral fallen over on top of the risen dirt, and tried to put that up and nearly lost my leg in the dirt. So, grave desecration, yay! But I really did have, I think, a great chat with her. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, keep working hard. If you can't, it's nihilist, dare I say, but, you know, I stopped and think about, because there's another Screen Dress podcast I was listening to on the way back from Morton to Champaign, Urbana, and that was the Afterlife Draft. I'd like to say I don't believe there is an afterlife. I believe that existence is a constant. We all are just, I don't remember being born. I don't think I'll know when I'm dead. I think it just keeps going. So the soul is something I believe in. I think a true atheist doesn't. I don't know what that really puts me in. I don't think a theist, because I thought you needed God for that. So existentialist, no, I'm a big Paul Sartre guy. So, which I can transition to, but I'll hold off on that. I'll see. Make sure I got everything finished on this. You know, but the important thing is you got to work with passionate creators instead of genre being your focus, I think is what she said. She wouldn't mind trying to make rom-coms come back. And she had a fun Me Too story about being asked to sing in an audition that she was just, you know, in the hotel lobby. And she said, well, you know, you want me to sing? Can we go up to your room? And nope, hashtag Me Too. And she wasn't the one who was saying hashtag Me Too. It's just like, nobody's going to take a chance anymore. You can't let anything happen. So, hey guys, quit being assholes. I suppose is the message there. Yeah, that gets through that panel. And then I was off to the Channel Awesome Movies We All Disagree On panel. And, you know, I thought about burning the place down again with Jurassic Park. But, hey, if I'm remembered, I did last year. So, I was so tempted to try. I wanted to be fair. Dare I say, I was so tempted, like, finish my piece on the movie I chose, and Jurassic Park still sucks. No, I played by the rules, and I just went back to my seat, and here, gosh, people talk about, like, oh no, Batman and Robin, childhood, Adam West, like, no, and no, I totally disagree with the panelist. I think it was Doug, the nostalgia critic. like, eh, I thought Gotham looked pretty cool. Like, no, not neon stuff. Gosh. And then went in the bat. So the guy mentioned the bat credit card. Come on, that's funny. And like one of the panelists went and started whacking, you know, trying faux mimicking, miming, whacking him with his hat. You know, enough that he goes and covers, I suppose. And then somebody else goes up about Batman and Robin and brings up, you know, no, the bat credit card is awesome. It's like, oh gosh, same thing happened. But you know, he goes on and saying, look, it's more convenient than cash. In 1997, no, it was not. You know, fraud protection, you know, Joker steals my credit card, your credit card, you can't use it. You're going to get that money back. And rewards points. No, we're not giving Batman 5% back. Like, what's he do? If it's not crime fighting related, no, it's not 5% back. I can see 3% back on fuel, 2% on groceries, 1% for everything else. That's just the standard. If you want to help me out, come to an electronic retailer in Champaign, and I can hook you up with those kind of deals. Never mind the interest-free financing offers. That's how we're getting the MacBook. So it's going to be fun trying to figure that out over the next few days. But I digress. I mean, I've used Macs, you know. Hell, my multimedia was on a Mac back when I was studying that. But, you know. Still not, you know, it's still not Windows, and so I might have my difficulties, but I think I've gone and traded in so many of these things or done returns on so many Apple products. That's why I have an Apple Watch. It's just because I was fed up with, see, you know, having to go and remember all of that. How, no, just do this, 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 boom, and you still screwed it up, so we're gonna have to go online, but hey, we'll get you there. Oh, that's why I want to focus on my alcohol sales. So, but primarily, they did go and establish, like, you know, his character, Doug's character, the Nostalgia Critic. No, sorry. Yeah, the Nostalgia Critic was kind of based on the talking heads he grew up with, being at Siskel and Ebert, you know. And then people started acting, you know, because nobody acted like Siskel and Ebert. And now people are acting like it, where they're getting, you know, I know I typed the word down. Well, you know, they're expressing such vitriol towards each other just because you disagree on a movie. Like, bloody hell. Come on. Give me a break. I mean, there are definitely movies I'll, you know, I want to break people's fingers over. I don't want to kill anybody. Slap in the face, I suppose. But, you know, snap a pinky, who cares? I'm not Christy Gnome. Topical. All right. Despite I did do a podcast saying, hey, a good move to get the audience emotions where you need them is to kill a dog. And, hey, I talk about killing kids too, so. Gosh, I love my cat, Eva. as no, kill children, just as I'm saying. It's just part of the, just part of the, you know, storytelling. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm to the point where I think, eh, somebody's got to die in everything to make it work. I digress. So, you know, before get too deep into it, the panelists mentioned movies they thought were fine or good, even. There's a lot of love for Morbius. Like, it's a great throwback to the 90s. Do we really ever want to go back to the 90s? Like, there's a reason we rebooted Spider-Man twice. You know, Uncharted, which, no, I don't see the, I didn't see there just being, maybe too soon, I suppose. Just like, the video games did enough, didn't they? But there's money to be made, and hell, they pretty much, from what I've heard, did Last of Us scene by scene. And people loved it. Now, the weird one was Brad said Nighthawks is the one that's disagreed upon. Like, it may have bombed, but it's, like, featured in that Terror in the Isles documentary. It's not really, it's not horror at all. Rutger Hauer, and I've done this on a Stallone-based podcast. I think that might still be only in the Podbean feed, which is up. I'm just paying for the archive, not the just not uploads. Yeah, I mean, I think it was a brilliant piece of suspense. Rutger Hauer, Billy Dee Williams, Sylvester Stallone. And then somebody stood up for Meteor Man, which is just one I ignored. Like, I didn't see what the appeal for me was. I think in the early 90s, though, we weren't ready for black superheroes, and I think that's a lot of the vitriol to it. Is like, no, just racist people or underlying racism. You know, hey, I'm not going to say that I didn't have that. Took me a while to get over that. I don't know if it took me a while to get over it. I mean, it's just like, say it. Gosh, that sounded freaking stupid and hateful and done. So, the movie I discussed was, if you're How Did This Get Made person, people are doing their best to show love for Drop Dead Fred, and like, no, Team Sanity. And that's cruel. I haven't seen Drop Dead Fred. It looked like shit in the commercials. That's why I haven't seen it. This isn't, talking about on the Afterlife draft. One of the commissioners on the show predicted that South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, which we haven't done on the podcast. But something to think about. Well, we kind of touched on it in TV to movies, another older one, but I think it might be on the main feed. So, he just never watched South Park, and he was put in a situation for this show that he had to watch South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. Now he says he watches 2 South Park episodes a day. You know, I guess, okay, Russ, maybe you should give Drop Dead Fred a go. Not a priority, though. I found Hannibal's on Shudder, of all places. Like, I think it's an NBCU, and Chucky's on it, too. Chucky's on Shudder, too. It's like, aren't these supposed to be sci-fi? Hence, they're there. Like, and I know Universal owns freaking Chucky, Child's Play, so I don't get it. I don't get the streaming services. But I gotta get this wrapped up. I really, and, you know, I talk about Jean-Paul Sartre. I believe I could not come up with the director's name of the movie I threw out there. It does not qualify for the podcast. I'm pretty sure it doesn't qualify for the podcast. I'm going to check, and I'll be very happy if it does, especially on Alien Day weekend, which is why I did that. And, maybe there's enough practical effects that you gotta credit a lot of people, but I discussed Jean-Pierre Jeunet. I thought it was Paul for a moment, so it's a good thing I have my phone right in front of me. Jean-Pierre Jeunet's Alien Resurrection, and, you know, I think the only thing we agreed on was holding it back was we didn't touch on Ripley being a alien, as a xenomorph human hybrid. But, you know, I basically said this is the kind of stuff Dan O'Bannon would be proud of. And, you know, but hey, Ridley Scott had to make a work of art out of his script. So, and somebody, and this is not on the feed yet, the main feed yet, it's on the Podbean feed. That podcast is 90forchill.com, the podcast, not 90forchill. The podcast with Cat Plus Russ. But somebody brought up Venom, There Will Be Carnage, and I don't think it's as bad. I don't think it's a bad movie, just rushed. And talking with Rory about the TV tropes, the Poetic Critic, about Venom, like, you know, he's kind of now a wink and nod at the anti-hero. It's kind of, yeah, and Tom Hardy does that great. And there's some great scenes, like when Venom's possessing other people, he's got to talk him down. But there's also Venom at a rave, and like, that is definitely Joel Schumacher shit, as I said, and I don't think anybody gave me credit for shouting that out, so... nerds are being too protective of each other, which we can go and discuss on the day two bonus episode, if you want to hear more about that.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm a tough love kind of guy.
I'm not a tough love kind of guy. I am a perfectionist. And, yeah, I'm not that great, so at what I do, I mean, I'm good. I'm always good, but there's always going to be somebody better, so perfection is something I probably shouldn't be chasing. I digress. So, otherwise, I finally got on the floor, and I've worked up the nerve to visit the... I mean, this guy had to pay for his booth. That's bullshit.
I'm making, like, I'm doing all this, and I'm, like, trying to make sure I don't screw up his name. I got to meet James Pax. He was lightning of one of the three storms from Big Trouble in Little China. And, like, I saw him the second day, and, like, his hype person wanted to, hey, come over. Like, it's lightning. It's like, yeah, I know. But yeah, I wasn't ready to meet a legend like that. So I, got up there, talked to him, like, oh, you know, and I said, gosh, I think Big Trouble in Little China might be the greatest action movie in the 1980s. And I remember talking on the podcast, which I dropped on him. He took a business card for me and really was very encouraging. So thank you very much, Mr. Pax, about, you know, busting. Can you just keep at it? Advertising will come at some point. And who knows? I'll drop his information and hopefully he'll return the favor. So he's got a Instagram at James, James. PAX underscore lightning on Instagram. There's the lightning of Big Trouble fans club chat room. Maybe I'll try to slip that into the promo pic if Ava lets me for this episode. He's got a couple of podcasts, or at least one he's pushing, Kung Fu Legends podcast. And there's a Kung Fu Con Facebook group. So I hope with Kung Fu Con, that's Kung Fu hyphen Con Facebook group. And Kung Fu Legends podcast, that's just spell it appropriately, no hyphen, and Kung Fu. But no, he's very interactive with me, and... I got a selfie with him, a couple. My gut is huge in it, comes off huge in it. Again, I was just a wreck. I think maybe I just really need to take some time off to myself, not do anything, a staycation, dare I say. Who's got time for that? No, he was very, very pleasant, and as I say, just very encouraging. So, yeah, definitely check out... check him out on Instagram at James Pax underscore lightning. And good guy. About selfies, and I think they look cool. It's just, yeah, my gut is there. And yeah, you could say, well, you're being harsh on the Ohio Nerdless girls, and it's like, yeah, and I know I gotta be harsh on myself. So but no, really great guy. And, you know, maybe he'll listen. Maybe not. He said he might advertise the pod. You know, I gave him the info and he might go and advertise the podcast. So I'm hoping. I think it's pretty clear. Like, the 90forchill.com has a big red line saying, go to 90forchill, the podcast with Cat Bus Russ. When you go and look it up on the internet. Main Event of the Dead should leave him there too. Main Event of the Dead.com. So... yeah, otherwise, you know, I was able to, I bought a glow-in-the-dark pin from him. I found they're going to say, well, it's the box is damaged. Did Jack Burton leave the box? You know what I say? What the hell? I'll spend $30 on a Jack Burton Funko Pop. If I had more money,
I would have bought a lightning and get it autographed. So at least you know the celebs are getting it. Otherwise, I went to the artist floor and there was some great stuff out there. I just don't have the room for art. But I did find a couple of sketchbooks, and the one that I did grab was Splattercore by Sunbros Studios. It was $10, and it's primarily black and white, but it's more fan art, which I think is what made me decide against. Like, I'm seeing some Ninja Turtles, some Sin City, lots of Evangelion. So, yeah, check out Sunbros Studios. I think they got some great stuff. There was other great work out there. Don't get me wrong. I saw some Max prints. The Max prints. I know the MTV show. So let's work on getting that, finding that. My sister's boyfriend kept saying, don't buy bootlegs. And I've had all right luck with bootlegs. But it's luck. I acknowledge that. And Rory's like, just check out for, YouTube. See what rips they've got. And I told her, yes, I just told your boyfriend that. So I think I at least he's dealing with the same kind of stuff I deal with when it comes to the poetic critic. So good guy is what I'll say about him. So it only lets me do an hour directly podcast, making a recording on the podcasters or Spotify app. So let's get it wrapped up again. Thank you very much, Station Marie Harden, for keeping an eye on me, keeping me out of trouble, and giving me some good advice. And I hope I'm a little envious of Skimble. Cute and talks too much. Why is he up there and I'm not? I digress. So just keep an eye on me and everybody you touch in your life, and don't let Skimble drive you nuts. If you want to be on the podcast, send an email to rustthebus07@gmail.com. That's RustTheBus07@gmail.com. Offer me, right now it's May, anime. Offer me a Japanese animated movie or set of episodes, because I had to buy tapes in the day. And I can figure out how to make that work. So just offer me some anime. Offer me a director, Makoto Shinkai, Satoshi Kon, Hayao Miyazaki, and we can fry up some podcast gold. You can follow me on my social medias. That's @CatBusRuss on Blue's Twitter, @CatBusRuss @CatBusRuss.bsky.com on Blue Sky, and RussStevens@Mastodon.social. And give me a follow. Rate five stars on your favorite podcast apps. Be as honest as you'd like on my Twitter about how bad the show is, or Blue Sky. All my social medias. Be as honest as you'd like about the flaws of the show. But help me get to the point where I gotta improve. I definitely need to improve upon them. I suppose. Like if this gets hot, then I better straighten up. So. Thanks for listening to the 90 for Chill the podcast. Look forward to hearing from you. It'll be probably, if I get the computer working right, the new MacBook, it'll probably be a Rewind Wednesday. I'll be up front. For May 8th. But looking for May 15th and May 29th to talk some Japanese animation. And I hope you'd like to volunteer. Thanks for coming to the 90 for Chill the podcast. And can I get a wahoo?